Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Lost in the Static. I am, as always, Scott Murray, and with me is my stalwart companion, Josh.
Was that a shot?
No. I in no way called you a stalling wart.
All right, fine. Have it your way. Well, anyway.
Speaking of have it your way, Burger King. Later. We'll get there.
Later. Right now, Adam and Eve. Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC to get 3 free DVDs, 50% off of a single item, free mystery gift, and free shipping. Static at adamandeve.com.
It's
what a bargain!
Now, a lot of people have come and they've mentioned to us, they say, you know, Adam and Eve is great, they make great products, but it doesn't really fit me. Is there anything else we can do? And we've pointed them to the Amazon links in the past, and the Amazon links
are correct.
They're there, and they're not used much. But there is a way that you can help out a very, very good friend of mine named Al, and you can help us out at the same time. If you go to drivethroughstuff.com and search for Point of Insanity Game Studios. Actually, you can just do that from Google, too. It'll point you right there. He makes some really, really cool systemless settings for RPGs. So
we have a lot of RPG fans.
Yeah, we all know Dungeons and Dragons, and that's pretty cool. And we know Cyberpunk, and that's pretty cool. But sometimes you want to try somewhere and some new way of doing things. And so he makes these systemless games that classic RPG games. And they're really, really cool. And if you go and you check out his systemless settings bundle or any of the products involved, and you just let Al know that we sent you, we get a little cut of what he sells. And like I said, this is a guy
it's a good product.
Yeah, it's a good product. The guy that makes it lives a half hour away from me, and I've known him for a long, long time. And we've just been kind of hammering out an advertisement deal on the show, and I'm happy to have him. Plus, Here's a special thing. If you ask him, once you bought the bundle and everything, just ask him for a free light bulb joke. He will give you all the free light bulb jokes you want.
Okay, that one over my head.
Just trust me.
Okay, fair enough. But now, the audience won't know this because we recorded a couple episodes in advance, but you were gone for a week.
Yes.
And while you were gone, you, from what I understand, experienced the epitome of great hospitality, and you found that places will do anything to keep the customers happy, that customer loyalty is all that matters, right?
You know, I wish... Whoops, hello, microphone. Man, I'm having mic issues these days. I don't know what's going on, but I know you guys are hearing me. I'll just be a little bit louder for a moment.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Until I get this figured
out. Speaking of hospitality...
Hi, there I am. Anyway, I go down to Muncie, and granted, Muncie, Indiana isn't exactly a killer point of interest that draws a whole lot of tourists and stuff, but
it does if you're UFOs and Close Encounters.
This is true, but they have some decent hotels there, including one that I particularly like that was a Holiday Inn Express. It's a little bit more than some of the other hotels in town, but I pay for it because I get a good, comfortable bed to sleep on. It's clean.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
What's the difference between an express and just a regular Holiday Inn?
A regular Holiday Inn has...
Scott's Mike Dundarby dying, so you people get to...
I don't know. Oh, hi. Audio issues. A Holiday Inn Express usually has like a pool and a little vending thing and rooms, and that's it. A regular Holiday Inn is what they used to call holodomes. It's got a pool in the middle of this. It's kind of a big circular layout with lots of rooms and suites and stuff. And then in the middle, there's a big swimming pool and usually a hot tub or two and a game room and maybe some mini golf and stuff like that. The regular old Holiday Inns are basically hotels still that usually have a small pool, but nothing near the holodomes.
This is more of like the pared down version.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
You know, and then, okay, I just wasn't 100% sure what the, I wasn't 100% sure what the difference was.
But anyway, that's the big difference between the hotels is
the more you know.
Yeah, and they're pretty nice. I mean, you know, they're not bad. I believe that there are no longer motels or hotels, but they're all patels. Because
explain,
Patel is like Smith in India. And most hotels that I've found across the U.S., and I'm not quite sure why, but they're owned by Indian families, most commonly with the last name Patel.
Dot, not feather?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I said Indian and not Native American.
I don't say Native American. I say Indian even though, never mind.
Did I lose good. You now?
I don't know. I seem to be there.
You seem to, there you go. Okay.
Weird. Yes, this is the audio glitch show.
This is, yes, it is. I apologize. But anyway, so I go to Holiday Inn Express, and my dad is being kind enough. He says, I'll pay for your room for the couple of nights, and then you and your mom will go on up to Michigan and do your thing. And we go in to Holiday Inn Express, and I grab, basically my dad hands him the card, says, we want a card, you know, room for a couple nights. And the guy looks at me, this is like 10 in the morning, he goes, I don't have any rooms ready. I said, well, that's fine. It's, you know, housekeeping, check out in until noon, so I understand
That. And I've worked at hotels. We always got pissed at people like you wanting your room early. It's like, hey, fucko, you were told what check-in time was.
Yeah, and that's why I looked at him. I said, that's no problem. Can we pay for a room now? And we'll, if you wouldn't mind holding on to my luggage, I'll go and go fart around town and do my family stuff, and I'll just come back when the room is ready. It's
fair enough.
Not a big deal. And he goes, sure, no problem. Runs the credit card, gets the room, does everything except give us the room key because he's not sure what room he's going to rent us.
Again, just looking at it from his side, fair enough.
Yeah, we have receipt. And I go and I say, great. I drop off my suitcases and he puts note on suitcases and we take off. And we do family stuff. In the meantime, after the family stuff, my dad has to drive back to Illinois. Okay. Say goodbye to him. He does his thing. I come back to the hotel. I explain what happened. And the desk clerk looks at me and he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Different clerk?
Different clerk.
Okay, because that's important to
yes,
this.
Yes. So I hold up my little receipt and I say, look, they charged us for the room. And he goes, I have a reservation, but I have no room paid for.
Okay, that whole piece of paper you had that starts with an R and ends with a T, doesn't that prove that the room was done dirt or paid for?
Yep, but not in their system. And I don't get that, because I have a receipt from their system.
But, okay, even if it wasn't in their system, let's say the computer just, it burped and farted it out. You have a receipt that says, look, I can prove this.
He didn't even want to give me my luggage, because I even though I had my ID and everything, he didn't want to give. He goes, I don't know if you're really this person.
No. These are being held for a Frenchman named yes, Scott Murray.
Exactly. But nonetheless, yeah, they're being held for a famous Scottish footballer. But anyway, so I give him the receipt and I say, look, this is, can do me a favor, cancel everything. And I just looked at him. I said, I don't want to argue. Just cancel everything. Give me my suitcases and I will be on my way.
Okay, no, you're glancing over a few things. I don't believe you were, please just give me my suitcases. I seem to remember hearing from you, you were a little more vocal, a little more okay, guttural, and a little more angry.
Let me explain why I was a little bit more, that I was getting there.
Okay.
Because this is initially,
I thought you were just leaving that
no,
out.
No, I went, you know, please cancel everything, I'll find another place to stay. And I, you know, my dad's not there. The credit card went with him, and I'm poor. So I just said, here, could you do me a favor and cancel the reservation? Give me a cancellation number. And he goes, no. Excuse me?
Why? And I went, I don't understand the logic.
And I went. I don't understand what's going on. You have my ID. You know it's me. And he goes, well, this is your fault. I said, what? He goes, you should have had the clerk that was here before leave me a note or something or some sort of explanation of what was going on. Now I have a strange man that has an ID, but I don't know if that's really you or not, who is demanding luggage that's back here that I'm responsible for. And you say you checked in, you say you paid, but you don't have a room key. You don't even have anything. You have no proof of this. I have receipt. That's not proof to me. That's just paper. You could have printed that at home. This is your fault.
Oh, yes, because you are one of those big fraud people that go around trying to defraud hotels of other people's luggage, right? It's an epidemic, I've heard.
So he screams at me. That's when I lose my shit. And I'll admit, I lost my shit because you and I both have worked in the service industry.
I've worked in hotels.
I've worked in hotels as well. I lost my shit.
Were there other people around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Because it's always better when the person losing their shit has an audience, because then the clerk feels more put on the spot.
But this is after the clerk had yelled at me and told me it's my fault they fucked up.
Okay.
So I held up my ID again. I put down the receipt. And I said in the most uncalm and screamy voice I can, listen to me, you little shit. Cancel my reservation. Give me a cancellation number. Give me my luggage or I will call the police and have you arrested for theft.
Okay, now I'm going to say, obviously I didn't hear you screaming it.
Right.
But the way you just said it now sounds much more threatening and probably would have been more effective because it's more, I'm about to snap, you don't want me to get there.
No. I was using this voice initially, when I talked to him and he first told me, no, you get this voice first. I remain calm, polite, with lots of pauses so that you can think about exactly what I'm saying. Imagine this voice down here, up in volume, about 200 times as loud as it is now. And I screamed at him, and I lost it. And he goes, well, fine, I guess you can have the luggage, but there's no way you're getting a room here.
At that point, I'd be like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't want one.
And that's exactly what I said. I said, I don't want one. So I go out, and I'm thinking at this point that I'm going to be sleeping in my car, which I can deal with. I mean, yeah, my family has a farm there, and my dad has a house in Muncie, but unfortunately, stepmom is gone, dad is gone, and if I go to the farm and sleep, I get to sleep on a tiny little couch with about 20 dogs, and as much as I love dogs, these are 20 ungroomed dogs, and so nonetheless, I think I'm going to be sleeping in my car. I can deal with that. I've done it before. So I go out, and I call the national number for Holiday Inn Express. And I just said, you're going to, and I'm back to this voice because I'm talking to somebody new on the phone.
Who has not fucked
me over. Who has not screwed me over and who has no idea what's going on. And I explained to this lady on the phone, I explained exactly what was going on. And she goes, sir, I apologize. Let me transfer you to guest relations. And I'm like, wonderful. Can I have that number? Oh, I can transfer you. Can I have that number, please? Certainly. Would you like it before I transfer you? Yes.
Yes, please.
So I write down the number just in case. She transfers me, and I get a very, very helpful woman. Again, obviously I was calling overseas, but she had obviously practiced her English and her American accent quite well. But she was extremely helpful, and I explained the situation, and she goes, what was the last name of the owner of this hotel? Then I said, Patel. She goes, was man behind the desk the owner? I said, no, ma'am, it certainly wasn't. It was a...
white guy.
I was trying to figure... It was a... And she goes, white man. And I said, yes. She goes...
It was a white guy.
Yeah. And she goes, I thought so. Hold on. I'm going to call the hotel and see what they have to say, which is fair. Okay. Not a problem.
Well, yeah, because they can't just take your word for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So she puts me on cold, calls the hotel, gets this desk clerk because the manager isn't in today for some reason.
Hey, they get days off too.
I'm on hold for a while. And she comes back and she goes, I have explained the situation to the gentleman, and I believe we're going to come up with a solution. However, if you wouldn't mind holding a little bit longer, I have to now call the manager at home. So she puts me on hold for a little bit longer. She comes back and she goes, we've reached a solution. Would you be willing to wait? And I said,
at this point, why not?
At this point, what have I got to lose? She goes, all right. It'll be about 15 minutes and the desk clerk will call you. Do you have a number where I can reach you? I gave her my cell phone number. And she goes, okay. So I wait and I see this car about 10 minutes later come tearing down the road, screeching its tires as it pulls into the parking lot.
This would be the manager, I'm assuming.
And a very large, quite intimidating Indian man gets out.
Would this be the Patel?
I'm guessing yes. Slams open the door to the hotel, walks in. I have no idea what's going on. And about 5 minutes later...
Are you in the parking lot?
I'm in the parking lot.
I'm like, where are you?
Yeah, I'm in the parking lot in my car just waiting.
Okay.
My phone rings. It is obviously Mr. Patel. Hello, is this Mr. Murray? And I'm not going to do the Indian accent because I'm not that offensive.
I was going to say, you know what? Even if you do it well, it's still racist.
Right. So he says, is this Mr. Murray? And I said, yes. He goes, I apologize for the confusion. I have a room ready for you. It is completely paid for the next 2 days. Would you be willing to come back? And I said, will Chris, the desk clerk, be there when I do? Well, yes, sir. He's working the rest of the night. Well, I'm sorry, sir. I would rather pay somebody else than stay with you for free. And I wandered my happy ass down to the Best Western.
Because fuck Chris.
Exactly. I wandered my happy ass down to the Best Western and explained exactly what happened. And Jared was
They probably smiled, too.
Jared was the desk clerk there. And I got to admit, Jared, wherever you are awesome. Because he not only broke protocol by taking my dad's credit card number over the phone, which you are not supposed to do, but he had a beautiful clean room ready for me right away.
Back when I worked in hotels, which was the late 90s, we did that. We took credit card numbers over the phone all the time.
I know. That was the late 90s. Nowadays, you have to have ID with the,
credit card. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, unless something's changed, because this was like 97 through 99, I worked in the hotel.
Oh, I did the same thing when I worked in the hotel.
I'm like, yeah, but we took credit cards over the phone all the time.
Right. But now you have to have ID and the person has to be there and okay. Et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, he broke protocol. He took the credit card.
We won't get him in trouble by saying that.
No, we won't. But Jared, wherever you are, not only did you lose all that weight with the submarines, which was cool, but you helped me out in a hotel and got me a beautiful clean room. And then I don't know what made him do this, but when I got my receipt for the hotel, when I checked out there and I was headed up to Michigan, 20% taken right off. He goes, you had a hard day. Please come stay at Best Western again. I took 20% off.
Well, because they probably saw an opportunity to grab a, you know, future customer again, yeah. Too.
And guess where I'll be staying next time I go to Muncie?
You know?
Yeah. I used to stay at the Super 8 Hotel until one day when I went and pulled my sheets back and it had bed bugs crawling around in it. And I went, nope, not nope, nope. Big old bag, a giant bag of nope right there. And
see, okay, now we had something. This is just a hotel story. It's not really related to our topic. But recently in Sturgeon Bay, we had a Super 8 incident.
Okay, Scott. Okay.
All of a sudden, a hazmat team shows up at the Super 8. And remember, Sturgeon Bay is a relatively small town.
Yeah, you see a hazmat team in town, town's going to know.
Meth lab.
Wow.
A guy from here in Green Bay, this is where he lived and was selling all his stuff. He would drive to Sturgeon Bay about 40 minutes away, and then he was running a meth lab out of the Super 8, out of his room.
Nice.
So they had to call the hazmat team in to, this room may explode at any moment.
We'd really like to keep our hotel.
But Scott, that kind of shit don't happen to us often, does it?
No, it
not
really
even in Green no. Bay. That kind of thing doesn't happen too often.
Nope. But nonetheless, so yeah. Next time I go to Muncie, I'll be staying at the Best Western. And
good for you. Holiday Inn Express can kiss your ass.
Yeah, I found Holiday Inn Express after I got bed bugs at Super 8, and then I got screamed at the desk of the Holiday Inn Express, which is not a cheap hotel, by the way. It's a classy place. Best Western, not nearly as classy. About half to three quarters of the cost.
Okay, well,
but awesome people.
This was a long way to get to it, but our topic is what happened to hospitality?
I haven't the faintest idea because I went up to Battle Creek, and when we arrived at the hotel we were staying at there was no power.
Well, that's hardly their fault.
You're right, that's hardly their fault. But there's more to that story. But yeah, we're talking about hospitality. We've talked about it before, but I think it's time to come back and see it again, because I've got these two examples. This first one that I told you about Holiday Inn Express of bad hospitality, and the Comfort Inn, which not only lost a bunch of customers up at Battle Creek, but lost their sponsorship spot to Field of Flight. They're being disinvited as a sponsor and will get no advertising for that really pretty big event because of how they treated the pilots. Because we had 47 pilots total, 38 of them were staying at Comfort Inn.
Okay.
When we arrived, they had no power. Not their fault. We're not faulting them for not having power.
That's a city issue.
That's a city issue. It was off for 2 days. So no air conditioning, no hot water.
No TV.
No TV, no internet, no nothing, no charging your stuff. They refused to give anyone a discount. They paid.
That is their fault.
Yes. They required that we pay full room price. In fact, for a couple of the pilots, because of a paperwork snafu, they ended up, instead of being paying like full room price, which was about $78, they ended up being charged $300 a night because of the event. And because of that's how big this event is. Hotels can go, okay, it'll be $300 a night and people will pay it.
Because there's no other hotel.
Because there's...
Well,
the hotels are full, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Green Bay. Remember when the Packers were in the playoffs?
Yeah.
At a home game?
Yes.
You could not find a hotel... A hooker could not find a free hotel room in Green Bay.
Right.
Or, Christ, an hour in any direction from Green Bay.
Right. So anyway, so they refused to give us any kind of a discount. It's not our fault. It's the city's fault. So we're paying you, we're charging you full price.
That's bullshit. What they should do, they should eat that and then go after the city and say, you cost us X amount of dollars.
Actually, they have insurance for that kind of thing. They go after their insurance company. Either that, or I can tell you, do you know how much an empty hotel room costs a hotel per night?
I could have told you in the 90s, but now, no.
Now it's about $20. So if you go to a hotel with a bunch of amenities and it's a really, really nice hotel, that hotel room isn't costing them over $20 a night sitting empty. So if you pay $300 for a hotel room, that's $280 worth of profit.
That's almost covers the whole floor.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Exactly. And, but yeah, so what they could have done if they wanted to make us happy is go, okay, 50% right off the top. They didn't have TV, which is kind of bad for balloonists because we get up and watch the Weather Channel, or we used to watch the Weather Channel. Now we get up and check the app or check local. Usually, like, I think, what is it here? BAY has that local weather channel.
Yeah.
Well, you can find those all over the place. And we like to watch those. They're very important. The internet, but the internet showed up after we got power, of course, but there was something wrong with it. So we couldn't even check the weather app. And that, you know, So yeah, we had issues there. They refused to give us any discount, and when there was a mix-up where the pilots were charged the $300 a night, they said, "Too bad." You know, they refused to give them field of flight participant rate or anything like that, and so the field of flight, the air show and hot air balloon rally and everything that's been going on there since 1981. Looked at Comfort Inn and went, okay, you're not sponsoring us anymore. Man. Yeah.
Well, no, but there's a difference between like a systematized bad hospitality, like, you know, it's not our fault, to, and I'm not making excuses for the Chris guy at your Holiday Inn thing,
right,
but you and I have both worked at hotels. You might have caught him on that one bad fucking hour of the bad fucking day, because we've all had that where normally we are great with customers, but you catch us at the wrong time, and it's, you know what? The customer's always an asshole. You and I have both been there, and we know that that happens.
We've been there. I know that it happens to other people. I refuse to let it happen to me. When I work working in the restaurant, I could have the shittiest day on the face of the earth. Don't care. I want you to have good food. I want you to have a good experience. So I take all of my garbage and I leave it behind. When I worked at the hotel, I did the same thing.
You can't. You might want to, but sometimes it's just, you know, snap's not the right term, but you know, you just might snap at somebody and then immediately go, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. It's out of my system now. I'll take care of you.
Well, that's what my fellow employees are for. I and I mean it, and I let them know, and
I'm about to snap. Deal with this asshole.
Yeah, we have that kind of a rapport where, for instance, another manager at the restaurant, Stacy, if I snap at her, I can immediately then go, it was either you or them, and they're giving us money, and they kind of understand, you know. So that's why, or, you know, that's when you walk out of the restaurant for a little while.
Once I was answering phones at the hotel I worked at, and I was inundated with a bunch of stuff, and I knew it was, I could see from the line, it was one of the, you know, like one of the in-house numbers. I knew it was like one of the handymen or something and not a customer. I answered it. What do you want? You did nothing. It's like, yeah, not the right fucking time.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know, that's what my fellow employees are for. I will snap at them before I snap at a customer. And that's honestly, if you work in the service industry, that's the trick. And, you know, I've got a friend that works at a call center here in town. And his phone has a mute button. And his mute button is worn thin because he'll be like, certainly, let me look that up for you. Mute, you fat, ugly, uneducated whore.
I don't know, because this was on an old tape answering machine, so I may not still have it anymore. This is from the late 90s or early 2000s. I had a guy that I think thought he muted, but didn't. They were leaving a message for something. I don't remember what it was. And then the guy goes, and then I think he thought he hung up. You know, he's like, hey, Mr. Hadley, we need to talk to you about blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, so are you ordering a pizza? Don't go to that place. They fucking suck. No, because she's a bitch. And I'm just like, you do know you're still on, right, dude? You didn't hang up the phone or mute, you dumbass?
Yeah, people.
So I might still have that the little tiny mini cassette of that somewhere.
But I mean, you know, that's a slip of the finger or a oops, you know, that's an oops situation, and I can forgive that. I wonder what the hell happened to, number one, I don't believe, and I have never believed, the customer is always right. That's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
It is.
And anyone, the only people who say that customer is always right, people who've never worked in retail not necessarily in retail, like
people that have never dealt with customers.
Customer service of some kind, yeah.
And hospitality and stuff. The customer is mostly right. But at the same time, you know, you can come to me having a really, really bad day and unload on me. I then see it as my mission to make your life a little bit better in some way that I can. You know, I have people do this all the time. They're coming in on lunch to the restaurant. They're having a shit day at work or something like that. And they get to my line, and I know it.
You know, you can tell by body language.
You can tell by body language. You can tell by facial expression, stuff like that. I then do my best to make them a one damn good meal. And I'm just.
But then sometimes you have the opposite where you are not the one who is out of line and you still have to try and stay calm. I remember when I worked at the hotel, again, this is 90s, so VHS is the thing. The front of the hotel had like a VHS little rental. It's kind of like, it was kind of like a red box for just for the hotel.
Right.
You know, you had to use your room key to check out, you know, Starship Troopers or whatever.
Sure.
For a VHS thing, because these were rooms that all had VCRs in them.
Sure.
So I remember there was this one lady, she had like three crotch spawns that were just running all over, wrecking everything and knocking. And she got mad at one of the clerks for actually saying, could you please control your children? I'm on vacation! I ain't gotta do this! I ain't gotta do that! And you just, oh my God. You know, it's like, and then she had the balls to call the manager for how that employee treated me.
Well, I had one lady just the other day, came in with four kids. And
I call them crotch spawns.
I know. Came in with four kids. And again, I'm in a restaurant, usually not a problem. However, they were climbing. We have the line up front where you kind of walk through the line, and then once you're done with the line, you're kind of spill out into to the seating area. But some of the booths come butt up against where the line is.
Right.
Well, these kids were coming in through the line, climbing up on the booths. One girl was doing gymnastics, like flips and cartwheels and stuff, using the top of my booths as that. And I looked at her, I said, you know, the first time I said, ma'am, would you please do me a favor and have your kids not climb on the furniture? So she says something to them and they get down. And about 2 minutes later, they get back up there and they're climbing around. And I had one guy, one kid put his foot in another guy's meal because he was jumping from table to table. So
okay,
I
wrote, Scott, you're not a parent.
Right.
As a parent, I can't understand how people let their kids do that.
So I replaced the guy that got the foot in the meal. You know, I replaced his meal for free, and I apologized. And I said something to her in exactly...
You should have charged her, because it was her fucking fault.
I wish I could do that, but I can't. So I look at her, and I use this tone right here. And I said, ma'am, would you please do me a favor and control your children and not have them climb on my furniture, please? And she looks at me like, well, how dare you? And she turns around. And
she looks at you like you just offered a butt fucker.
Exactly. She turns around and says something to her kids. Well, the third time that they decide to climb up there, because, again, parents are ordering all the food for the kids are bored. The third time they get up there, I looked at her and I said, ma'am, get your kids off my furniture before they fall and crack their head open on my brick floor. Well, we don't want any food if that's how you feel.
I've encountered that it's your fault,
yes,
for trying to enforce to make them watch their own goddamn kids.
And I said, look, I'm honestly concerned about the kids' safety at this point. I have brick floors. They're up there doing flips. I don't need you falling and cracking your head open and then suing my restaurant for some god-awful reason. And and she goes, well, blah, blah, blah. And they completed their order and they sit down and these kids wharf down their food like you wouldn't believe and then get up and start running around again. Well, this is the fourth time. And they're visibly annoying other customers. So that was it. I called the police.
But people like this don't care, Scott. That's the thing. They are like, I'd have to deal with these kids all the time. When I go out in public, they are not my problem. That's part of the issue of this whole thing is, I mean, it's a kind of a different topic, but if you can't control your kids, keep them the fuck at home. There was one lady that I was working at a restaurant at the time. This is in the 90s again. She couldn't have been more than 25, and she had five kids. I mean, she clearly was totally unprepared for this life. And it's like, well, as rude as this sounds, learn to close your fucking legs then. Jesus Christ, lady.
Yeah, or, you know, at the very least, there are these things called Trojans that are really handy little
things. It's like, Jesus, if you don't want five fucking kids, quit fucking swallowing cock like it was...
Actually, no. Start swallowing cock and stop stuffing it up into you.
I was going to say swallowing it with your leg, you know, between your legs. But then there's also the fact of... It kind of goes to product quality. There was this video that hit YouTube a little while ago called Fast Food Ads versus Reality Experiment, where a guy used hidden camera to go to McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Burger King,
couple of Wendy's places, yeah.
And he's like, let's see. And he didn't just do the burger doesn't look like it does in the ad. He went one step further and I think proved the point we're trying to make here. They can make it look like it does in the ad. They just don't give a fuck.
Bling. Hey, everybody. You ever notice that fast food looks way better in the ads than it does in reality? We're going to do a little experiment with a hidden camera to see if we can get them to make the food look exactly like it does in the pictures. Let's see how this goes.
I'm just getting a Big Mac today. Name is Greg. It doesn't look quite as pretty. I'm looking at this picture of the Big Mac, and it looks kind of sad and dry. And can you make one that looks like the picture?
Not a problem.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. You like that? You ever hear people ask for that before?
I never heard that before.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, look at that. See, that's a little better, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you very much for the feedback.
I appreciate it. Thank you. How you doing? Yeah. I'm gonna go for a bacon cheeseburger deluxe. All right. Okay, so this is the bacon cheeseburger deluxe. Let's see how this thing compares.
It's pathetic.
Let's see if we can get them to match that. This looks kind of scrawny compared to this, especially for the bacon.
Yeah, we just follow the rules. Some of the pictures, they don't look nothing compared to what we made.
Can you make this so that it looks like the picture for me?
All right.
Let's see if they can actually make it look like the picture. This one's a little challenging. I'm excited. Here we go. That's good. Looks like a burger to eat.
And then he goes to Jack in the Box and whatnot.
Yeah,
all of them except Burger King have to be asked to make it look like the ad. Burger King, he unwraps it and goes, that looks almost exactly like the goddamn picture on the ad.
Yeah, it's astounding. So this is fast food, which I can kind of understand because toward the end, one of the guys that works at one of the restaurants says, you know, the people come here and they just eat. They don't really give a shit what it looks like. If you want a place that gives a shit about what it looks like, you have to go to the not so fast food.
What we would call a sit down restaurant.
Well, not even like a table service restaurant, which is the sit down, you know, not even that. I mean, yes. But what I mean by not so fast is places like Fazoli's where, you know, it's not table service. You still order at the counter, even though they bring it to you, or Qdoba where you order at the counter, but it takes a little bit longer.
So instead of you standing there, you go get your drink, you get your seat, and then they bring to whatever your table
is. Yeah, we either bring it to the table if it takes a little bit, or even just ordering and customizing your food takes a little bit longer. You know, because when I make a burrito, they're a pound and a half, but I've got all these choices.
You know, you make it to order.
Exactly.
Whereas something like McDonald's, it's an assembly line.
Exactly.
It's not the same thing. There are totally different levels of quality between McDonald's and fucking Qdoba.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, you know, that's go to a place that's a little bit higher in quality, a little bit not so fast food.
Right. And I do want to say the Jack in the Box, he got the tacos. Those are the most pathetic looking tacos I have ever seen. I've never even seen Taco Bell tacos look as bad as the ones he is given in this video, Scott. It is horrendous, these tacos he's given.
Jack in the Box tacos, though, are delicious.
Even if they look like that?
Yeah, I'm sure those tasted about as good as they looked. But speaking of Taco Bell, another sponsor for Field of Flight was Taco Bell. They gave my crew... Well,
I guess that they would make hot air to help with the balloons.
Oh, boy, do they. They gave my crew one night, we got 24 tacos. I kid you not, I went to my crew and I went, here's 12 tacos, because...
You were like, fuck it, 12 of these are mine.
Yeah, because they were... A quarter of the taco was full. And then they were all folded over and they were
half-ass them.
Oh my God. And I was amazed. So I went, and some of my Qdoba employees used to work at Taco Bell. And I asked them, I was like, what is up with the tacos? Because I remember Taco Bell, you get a nice serving of meat and you get, you know, and they fill them up and they make them.
I don't know if you'd call it meat. They're fighting the FDA on that.
At the time, it was called meat. But, you know, when I was younger, I remember going to Taco Bell and getting this nice full taco that looked good. And I ask them, do you know that they weigh each taco? Seriously. They'll put the whole thing and and if it's over.
Knocks them out.
They take meat out and they put it back in their serving bin. And I was like, really? And she goes, yeah. And so I was like, so the employees... Either A, don't give a fuck, or B, are it's like a corporate policy to make them look that bad. She goes, yeah, it's corporate policy. You should. One of the girls I work with was actually getting up in management. Taco Bell management to where she was running multiple restaurants. She goes, I would go to meetings in Milwaukee to cover this entire district of Taco Bells, and they would feed us Taco Bell food.
Makes sense.
And it looked exactly the same. It was the same stuff. And she goes, that's why she came over to Qdoba. She goes, because I like serving food and not whatever the hell that was.
Well, but speaking of like the Taco Bell thing, you also sometimes have either corporate dictates that are not followed by the, whether it's a franchisee or
right.
just the
right.
satellite restaurants,
right.
or sometimes just the opposite. You have certain things that are done at the smaller restaurants that are not done corporately.
Exactly.
Like, for example, the Dairy Queen in Sturgeon Bay has a chocolate chunk blizzard. Green Bay, I ordered that. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I get this all the... Huh?
Yeah.
Appleton doesn't have it. It's like, I guess that's just served at the Sturgeon
it's
Bay
just
one.
Just a Sturgeon
then,
Bay thing.
Strangely enough. But then you've got other ones like Taco Bell. My wife doesn't like cheese on her tacos, but she loves tomatoes.
Okay.
So whenever she would go there, she'd be like, no cheese, but extra tomatoes. And then they would always charge her 25 cents for extra tomatoes. And it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense if you're substituting. So she called corporate, and corporate said, no, you shouldn't be charged this because you're substituting.
Right.
And then the local one would always go, we don't follow that rule. We're going to charge you. And it's like, corporate says no, and they're like, well, we've got to charge you. We'll deal with corporate later.
Yeah.
It's like, do you people not talk to one another?
And to be fair, because a lot of people are like, well, can I leave this off and add extra this? And it's been to the point at my restaurant to be on the other side of that argument to where I show them my food cost. Because if you take beans and rice off of the burrito and you just want tortilla and meat, and then toppings or whatever. And let's say you want a little extra meat. Well, I give you an extra full serving of meat and I charge you for a half serving because that covers my food cost. And people don't understand that. I'm like, well, here's the price for a full serving. Here's the price for a half serving. I gave you two full servings. I charged you for one half serving. Here's why. And so... I'm a little bit more sympathetic to the restaurants with that one. Not Taco Bell,
but you know.
You
can't say that that tomatoes equal weight cost more than cheese.
Right, I agree.
I guarantee cheese costs more than tomatoes.
No, cheese costs a shit ton more than...
So you would think that they... to me, it just seems like kind of opportunism, especially because they don't tell you they're charging it.
Yep.
They just throw that extra 25 cents on per taco, by the way.
Right.
So you're ordering 12 tacos... That's fucking $3 extra. You go, yeah. whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I've been there, and I'm just trying to explain what the other side is like. But again, yeah, when you're dealing with the food that they serve at Taco Bell versus the food that they serve at Applebee's or Fazoli's or Qdoba or whoever, then yeah, big. That's the thing. I had for lunch today. I had 3 tacos, and that filled me up.
From
Qdoba.
Qdoba. Okay, from Qdoba. I don't know if you
got it at work.
Hey, okay, this is something people in the that have never worked restaurants.
Yeah.
Don't realize, because usually you get free food, you know, for your lunch
for wherever reduced.
You are. Like, yeah. When I worked at Pizza Hut, I'm like, yeah, free pizza. After about 2 weeks, you're like, anything but pizza.
Yeah, but I had been on vacation for a week, so I came back and decided to pull the trigger and get my manager meal. And 3 tacos filled me up. It was full. I nearly didn't finish the last one. At Taco Bell, I had 12 tacos. I was still hungry.
That's because they were half empty.
Yeah.
Because you were eating a lot of shell.
Yes.
You were eating a lot of taco shell that day.
Yes, I was.
But do you think then that also, this also kind of plays into the whole the employees don't give a fuck thing that we've talked about? I mean, this is well over a year ago, so we can revisit right. this a little
bit. I think it depends on where you go. And again, that's a reflection in quality. Because Taco Bell is willing to hire you if you have 2 legs, 2 arms, and can work. And sometimes they don't even care about how many legs or arms. Just if you can work, do it. And, you know, well, what about product of, you know, quality of product and everything? Nobody cares. Just
at Taco Bell, excuse me. At Taco Bell, when you're going through the drive-thru at 3 in the morning, you're probably high. So, yeah, you don't care.
Yeah, and the guy that's giving you food is probably
just high, as high as you are.
And I can tell you that from experience that, yeah. Anyway, one of my suppliers used to work at Taco Bell. I'd go through and I'd have this, kind of like what, I forget what movie it was, but the, you know, the pizza that came through with extra anchovies, something that nobody else ever orders. And they'd be like, oh, so that's, one of the pizza delivery boys was a gigolo. And that's how he knew that it was a gigolo call.
Oh, wasn't that Camp? No. I'm not thinking of Can't Buy Me Love. It's the one with Patrick Dempsey, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know which movie you're talking about, too, but I can't. The name's escaping me
moment. But nonetheless, I had an order like that at Taco Bell, and this is back in college, and I would get my little Taco Bell bag with a couple of tacos that I really wanted and a bag of weed. And even talking to some of the former Taco Bell employees that I work with, they're like, yeah, man, there is marijuana going all over those restaurants. It doesn't matter which one you go to. Everybody's high. I'm like, okay, all right, fair enough. Versus, but again, you know, that's because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for speed and they're looking for something to shove into your maw and who cares. Versus going to a restaurant with higher quality, we're going to have more stringent hiring principles.
Well,
so we're going to look at that. Your employees aren't going to be high, and you're going to get better food.
What about Joe Pesci's? They always fuck you at the drive-thru! Do you think that's partially true? That by the time, you know, because most people aren't going to unwrap it right there. They're going to drive for a little bit. And then by the time they find out that, you know, you ask for no mayo and it's just slathered on there, you're too far away to give a shit. Do you think that is kind of a built-in principle?
It really is.
Because from what I understand, both from employees that have worked there and my experiences at some fast food places, when you sit down, the food is fucked up far, far less than it is at the drive-thru.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think that they look at it, it's drive-thru, no one gives a fuck?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
So would you call that kind of a loss leader?
Yeah.
In a way?
Yeah. I don't know if it's a loss leader, but it's a principle. And it's, you know, but again, drive-thru, what's your concern with the drive-thru? Speed. Get them in, take their money, get them out. Get them in, take their money, give them their food, take them out. And that's what speed is the concern. However, if you're doing counter service or if you're doing, you know, food where you really do put a face to the order, then it's quality. And that's just a difference in thought. The drive-thru is about volume, period, end of story.
Well, then what about when they either don't do their job properly or didn't warn you about something and then won't do anything to correct it?
Well, that comes back to just shitty employees.
For instance, the reason I will never go to the Sturgeon Bay movie theater again, even though I used to work there. My wife and I went to go see Contamination, the Steven Soderbergh movie. And there's these giant yellow letters across the bottom. The closed captioning was on for the in the movie. We're like, okay, this is weird. We go to complain. Oh, yeah, the closed captioning stuck on that projector. It's been like that for a couple of days. You couldn't have told us this before we bought a ticket. No. It's like, really, this was preventable, me bitching at you.
Yeah.
Especially because the closed captioning wasn't even in sync. The closed captioning would show up almost a second before the dialogue would start. So it's like, there's no fucking way I'm watching a two-hour movie like this.
Right.
Screw you. I want my money back. But then the fact is, it was preventable. They could have told us when we ordered tickets for this, well, you know, this is happening. This, we can't fix it right now. Do you still want to see the movie? But it was, don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
And that comes down to a difference in training and in corporate philosophy. You know, when I look for employees, when I look for people to hire, I, number one, fucking make eye contact with me during the interview. I've never understood that. I've had people come in, put their head down like this and be like, I'm a very outgoing, very social person. And they're not looking, you know, they're not looking me in the, and I'm like, bullshit. You're telling me what I want to hear. Get out.
Your body language is betraying you, fucker.
Yeah. Either, I've also had people come in and say, well, I don't know. People tell me I'm somewhat shy and I like talking to people, but sometimes but they're making eye contact with me. They're talking to me. That's the person I want dealing with my customers.
To me, the worst one of those is where I've been in interviews where they kind of do like a fake scenario, you know, like I'm the customer and stuff.
Yep.
That always, I'm good with customers. I'm awkward when I'm having to fake it like that. It doesn't feel right.
And if you tell me that, I'm going to get a whole lot more respect for you.
You know?
So
it's like, it just doesn't feel right with you pretending to be a customer.
Yeah, it's a little odd, but that's, role play is a common training thing. But
role play is for if you're using a systemless system from drive-thru or in the bedroom. That's the only places role play works.
Actually, it works really, really well if, let's say we're working for Disney and there's a lot of different departments down there in that park. If you want some interdepartmental training, so you have the electricians come up and talk to the customer service people, then role play gets interesting because you're not dealing, like, it's hard for me to role play with my boss because he's my boss and
we know each other.
We know each other and we get about halfway through the role play and I start spewing off, I start doing stupid shit to my order, and I'm like, you know, do you have fish tacos? No, we don't have fish.
I want a piece of pizza on the taco.
Yeah, I want a piece of pizza shoved in there, and we start getting goofy. But so it's got its place, but nonetheless, that's what we look for. Versus again, if a person walks into McDonald's or Taco Bell and goes, yes, I'm very outgoing and I'm very, very social person, blah, blah, they're going to go, okay, he's outgoing and social. Put him back in the kitchen. Go to work. And it's not, don't get me wrong. I'm not faulting people for being shy. I'm not faulting people for not being part of this frontline deal. It's just that I have to have the right people in the right place.
Right.
My cooks that don't speak English and don't even understand English that well, they belong in the back in the kitchen making the food because they're surrounded by other cooks that speak Spanish and many that speak both Spanish and English, and that fits for them. If I put them up on the line, you'd be like, I'll take three tacos with chicken and blah, 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 blah.
How do you say taco?
And then they just look at and go, ¿qué?
How do you say taco?
Yeah, you know.
I was at a Dairy Queen once here in Green Bay. Nobody spoke English. You had to point to what you wanted on the menu. I'm like, okay, this is not how you run a Dairy Queen. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's silly. And but yeah, I mean, customer service overall, and when it comes to hotels and stuff, I have seen plenty of stories where the customer is the ass and where they thoroughly deserve to have their pizza pooped on or whatever. And I've seen plenty of stories where the employee of the business made the bad choice. So anyway, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys. I survived. I'm back. And I'll see you guys in the future.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.
9.